So the question I want to ask is, what do you do when the earth beneath you starts to shake?
You wake up quickly.
Good answer, Bill. What do you do when the earth beneath you begins to shake? What do you do when the waters begin to rage? One option is denial. This actually happened. I just started dropping off to sleep. I go to bed earlier than Gigi does. So I was almost completely asleep, but Gigi was still awake, and she felt the earthquake, and she said, I think we're having an earthquake, and you know what I said? Ah, no, it can't be. Isn't that a great option in the face of a crisis? The first reaction you tend to make is denial. I had another experience related to denial. In the spring of 2013, in the late spring, at the end of May, or maybe it was early in June, we were down at the ranch, and there was one of these late spring thunderstorms, storm cycles that just had settled over the Rosebud Valley. And at 8 o'clock that morning, the National Weather Service issued a flood warning for the upper Rosebud Valley. And I walked down the lane to check the mail, and I looked at the Rosebud Creek, and sure, it was running pretty full. Most of the year, the Rosebud is just basically muddy. But it was flowing high. But it was not anywhere near flooding. So I just looked at the Rosebud Creek and I shook my head and I declared that the Weather Service had gotten it wrong again. How in the world is this little tiny creek going to flood? About 10 minutes later, the Rosebud was like 300 yards wide. And I didn't want to find out how deep it was. Denial is a powerful force. And in the face of a trembling earth, in the presence of swift and rising waters, denial is almost an instinctive option that people choose. I remember once seeing a man interviewed on television after he'd been rescued from a flash flood. I think this flash flood took place somewhere in Texas. And there was water on the highway, and you know, they always say, there's water on the highway, don't drive through it. But this man drove through it because he denied there was anything there that was worthy of his concern. He denied that the water was a force, a deadly force, which he could neither manage nor control. I figured I'd just, you know, like drive right through it, he told the television camera. But the water, the power of the water carried not only his vehicle away, those floodwaters washed away this man's ability to deny the force of the storm. I thought it wasn't a big deal, he said. But I was wrong. And I almost died because of that. So what do you do? What do you do when the earth starts to shake, when the storms come, when the waters begin to rage? Another popular answer to these questions is panic. The dictionary defines panic as a sudden or uncontrollable fear or anxiety, often causing wildly unthinking behavior. And like denial, human beings are quite skilled in panic, especially in the face of a raging storm. I knew a person from eastern Montana who was driving in a vicious thunderstorm. You know how it can get in late May or early June out there. He was driving through a vicious thunderstorm when a power line collapsed and it fell on his pickup. And he could see the electrical current arcing across the truck's hood. And you know what he did? He panicked, and he jumped out of his pickup and barely survived the electrical shock. If he had stayed inside, the rubbers of the truck's tires would have insulated him from the electrical current. But he didn't think about that. And who can blame him, right? I mean, when you're in a situation like that, if you can't deny it, you panic. He was scared, he was afraid, and so he panicked. So what do you do? What do you do when the earth begins to shake? When the storms come? And the waters begin to rage. The question is important to consider, because as we were reminded on Thursday, the world is a very unstable and stormy place. Without warning, the ground suddenly shakes, and the waters of chaos churn and rage all around us. This was quite literally true for the people who lived in California this past winter, where after years and years of drought, they were suddenly deluged with rainfall. The mighty waters thunder, the floods lift up their roaring in a very real and literal sense. I remember, and you probably do too, that one place in Northern California got dumped with almost 10 inches of rain in 36 to 48 hours. And at Oroville, there was real concern that the waters, all these waters, might breach the dam and result in catastrophic flooding. The earth shakes, the waters rage in a very literal sense. But also in another sense, the earth shakes and the waters rage. They rage in figurative and spiritual ways too. What do you think of all the things that are happening in our country and in our world these days? How do you deal with them? What do you do when the ground starts to shake and the storms come and the waters begin to rage? When I was elected to the Seminary Board of Trustees in 2010, the stormy chaos, the shaking earth, the flood which lifted up its voice very loud and very clear involved the money. Specifically, it related to the seminary's fiscal solvency, which had been, like many other institutions, deeply threatened by the financial crisis of 2008 or 2009. So I'm brand new on this board, and I don't say a whole lot. I just sat there and kept my mouth shut, and I watched what was going on. Most of the people on the board at that time were Presbyterians. And being Presbyterians, the board addressed this crisis in the usual way. You know what it did? It formed a committee to study the issue. The committee was led by two senior vice presidents, who, by the way, are no longer with the seminary. And they reported back at the next meeting in October, which went with what they called a financial equilibrium plan. It was a very sophisticated presentation with the PowerPoint and all that stuff. And as I watched this presentation being made, I thought the most appropriate subtitle for this financial equilibrium plan would have been In Your Dreams. Because it imagined that this urgent crisis could be solved by figures that could only be visible if you wore very rose-colored glasses. It was all a bunch of wishful thinking. How did they deal with the shaking ground, the raging waters, the stormy chaos? They faced these things through the time-tested method of denial. Denial is a popular way of dealing with the forces of chaos, which would consume us. But besides denial, there's panic. In our narrative from Mark 4, the disciples embrace this dramatic and popular way of dealing with the raging storm. I've always been fascinated with this text, even when I was a little kid. It compelled me, and I was intrigued by it, because the disciples go below the boat to wake up Jesus. He's asleep during the storm. And I always wondered, why did they ask him to save them, right? Wouldn't that have been a great idea? Hey, Jesus is here, let's get him to still the waters, because that's, you know, like what he does. But instead, they didn't ask him to pray. They didn't ask him to intervene in the crisis. Remember the question that they asked him? They panicked so much they figured that their doom was certain and absolute. And so they asked Jesus, do you not care? that we are perishing. It's like they didn't want Jesus to save them. They wanted Jesus to share their doom and panic. The storm was so bad and the waves were so huge that they figured that it was all over. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Confronted with unchecked forces of chaos, lots of friends respond with panic. I have a friend who's more informed about what's going on in the world than I am. And as his wife might tell you, that's probably part of his problem. Because he's so worried. He's so afraid he could even say that he's panicked over whatever crisis currently demands the headlines. The virulence of ISIS, the unstable political economy, the political unrest in our country, the recent launch of a missile by North Korea. He explores these crises in great, even excruciating detail. And he'll look at me while we're having coffee and he'll see that my eyes have glazed over. And he will wonder, like the disciples wondered of Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care that we are perishing? Lots of people respond to life's stormy chaos with panic. And so when the earth shakes, when the storms come, when the waters rage, they are swamped by fear. But in the face of the storm, in the face of the shaking earth and the raging waters and the roaring floods, there is another and I think a better option. An option preferable to denial or panic. And that option is faith. Faith that is simply but eloquently summarized in the words which begin Psalm 93. In the Hebrew, the words are Adonai Melech, which could be translated, the Lord is King. Or you can translate the left as a verb and say, the Lord reigns. But however you understand the word, whether it's a noun or a verb, the essential point is clear. The floods lift up their voice. The floods lift up their roaring. The mighty waters and the majestic waves of the sea thunder. One thing I like about Scripture is it never denies the stormy and roaring forces of chaos. But Scripture, which acknowledges the stormy forces of chaos, also reminds us that the Lord we worship, the God we know revealed most completely in the crucified and risen Christ, is Lord of the storm. And our challenge even and especially when the earth shakes, when the waters roar, when the chaos of life rages, our challenge is not denial or panic. Our challenge is trust. Trust in the Lord's power. Trust in the Lord's majesty. Trust in the Lord's might. So much in life, so many things in the world are far beyond our power to control or manipulate. We, in many respects, journey, like the disciples, in this little boat across a very stormy sea. But the one who is with us is from everlasting to everlasting. The Lord who is King not only over a frightened and insecure people, but who also is King over the raging forces of chaos. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the wind and the waves, in the midst of the trembling earth, this King has the power to command the forces of nature and make the wind and the sea bend to his will. Jesus rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Shut up! Be still!" Then the wind ceased, Mark noted, and there was a dead calm. And the disciples were filled with great awe, and they wondered, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" In the midst of the storm, we can trust the one who is Lord.